Well, this has really been a sweet blessing to me to get back into a Bible study. Thank you, Jesus. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I will tell you that this is such a tremendous chapter and so full of so many shadows and types of the bride of Christ. And again, brothers and sisters, I hope we can rejoice in the things that we've already put into our heart to treasure. And I hope that God continue to just reveal Himself more clearly to us through these things. But such a marvelous chapter. And you think how we had ended here in the 14th chapter with the gifts, and how wonderful and precious these gifts are, and how the Holy Spirit again is at work today. These gifts are still among us and bringing forth fruit as we give them to God. But as we enter this 15th chapter, I do believe it takes on another tone, that we need to focus on Christ. We need to focus on truly what this life is about, and where this strength and this Spirit-filled life truly comes from. And this portion of Scripture can sometimes be somewhat confusing to people. And I believe, as the Lord so long ago really impressed upon my heart, when we read the Word of God, we need to know who's speaking. And we'll have Paul speaking here, obviously. It's the Holy Spirit through him. It's God's Word. But Brother Paul is bringing forth the Word. And who he's speaking to are the Corinthians. And obviously we know that these are saints of that know the Lord as Savior, that are sweet, Spirit-filled, and things going on in their life. But obviously the Lord is dealing with them greatly. And Paul is encouraged to bring them the Word of God. But what is being spoken about here throughout this 15th chapter is truly the theme is the resurrection. And we need to understand and to have that in focus, that this is the resurrection, that Christ, He was resurrected. And praise God, we shall be as well. And before we begin, I'd like us to turn over to Mark chapter 8:31 to somewhat set this tone. That's the book of Mark and chapter 8 and verse 31. And this is Jesus, and he says, and it says that he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And then I'd like you also to turn over to John chapter 11, verse 25. Such a wonderful portion of Scripture. That's John 11, verse 25. And it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, again, what comfort and what truth, and again, what hope that we have that is true hope. There's substance in what we believe. And when we have loved ones that go on before us, believe it or not, they're doing better than we are as they know the love of God. And it's so wonderful to them that believe. Isn't that wonderful? That believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. So again, as we know the Lord, no, we've just passed on to that sweet life that is continuing. And someday, can you imagine when we do receive our glorified body, what that will be? So praise His name. So in that, let's begin in that first verse where it says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. And we brought this out Sunday morning. And this is so precious, brothers and sisters. It's all got to begin with the gospel. And I'd like us to just understand again and what the definition of that gospel is. And over there in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And what is the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth. So you have to believe. For this power, for this gospel to take effect into your life, you have got to believe. I know people that run around and say, well, if this is a God of mercy and a God of love and a God of grace, I'm sure that He wouldn't condemn anyone to an eternal hell. Well, you need to know your Bible, because that's exactly what will happen when you do not accept the gospel, which is the power of God, and it is the gospel of Christ unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But read that 17th verse as well. For therein, or in this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Praise the Lord. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So there's the gospel that we have. Now here's Brother Paul going on to say, which I preached. Now again, we touched on that Sunday. You need the preaching, brothers and sisters. As we get into this life, again, we can become so headstrong in so many ways. We can become so lackadaisical. We can allow the enemy to come in and say, well, I've already heard that before. I know that. You need the preaching. You need the preaching. You need the gathering of yourselves together, the much the more as we see the day approaching. And I believe God is making that real to our lives. I am encouraged that the Lord is truly, by His grace, drawing us to fall in love with Him. And this is how He has chosen it to happen. And again, as we know, it's the preaching of the gospel, not the preaching of foo-foo, and of what you might make you feel better for the day, and what might be entertaining, and what type of philosophical things we can talk about. But the Word of God. The Word of God. We need to settle in. Which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. So again, by the grace of God, that preaching, they received it, they stand. It's the only way we'll ever stand. It's the only standing there is. Peter brought out, which is so sweet, those that are unstable and unrest, that are tossed to and fro, it's because they wrestle with the Scriptures. They don't stand in the truth. They do not want the truth. They want something else. They have itching ears. They want to believe things that are not true, and God will give them over to a lie. He'll allow you to go as far as you want to go. And I'll assure you, the Word of God is true. And again, I steer you back to Romans 1, when you quit giving God the glory. And let me tell you something, His glory is His Son. And when you depart from that glory to His Son, when you stop being thankful, when you cease gratitude in your life for what God has done, you look where it can take you. And God forbid we'd ever get there. But unfortunately, I've seen so many choose that way, and what's so hard to see is that they're so stubborn and sometimes so prideful. They can see and know the mistake, know the Word, but yet they're too proud to come back. Pray for them. Pray for them. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved. So again, isn't that wonderful? The gospel of Christ saves us. Now, pay attention here. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, I've had people that were legal try to bring this verse up and say, well, see, if you don't keep it in memory, if you're not really taking heed to it, it was just in vain for you. A lot of people will say, oh, I believe in eternal security, but if you quit believing or denounced the Lord, you never believed in him anyways to begin with. And I think, how sad. That's how many try again to conceptualize what they believe should be the right way. Remember, God, His ways are not our ways. His way is past finding out. And it's that simple. That's how much He is in love with man. And He is in love with man. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And in giving His Son, He made it so easy. The threshold so low. To be able to come and to be accepted to Him is just to not acknowledge His Son as Lord, as Christ, that Jesus is my Savior. Praise the Lord. And we cannot be separated. He cannot deny Himself, and we know these things. So again, what it's getting at here, brothers and sisters, is that if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, where I said earlier, where you know have to know what he's speaking about, is you have to understand the context here. And he's speaking of the resurrection. And I'll advance us here over to the 14th verse. And here's this vain or void or empty or of no effect he's talking about. It says, if Christ be not risen. Now, praise be to God, we know that Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Praise God, he is risen. But there was this thing going on at this time. These people were getting into these philosophies, trying again to allow the enemy to come in to cause unbelief and unrest. And this is what can happen. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain and your faith is in vain. We're going to see in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain and ye are yet in your sin. Isn't that something? The sins are still there. Now, this is the vein that there's talking about here. If there was no resurrection, all is lost. If Christ did not rise from the grave, all is lost. Now, he goes on in verse 3 and he says, for I delivered unto you first all, that which I also received. I appreciate Brother Hawkins bringing that out, brothers and sisters, for us to give out anything. We do need to make it our own. We do need to make it our own. Let it grow. I, again, think of Brother Hill so often with that one brother. And I'm sure so many. He said, oh, brother, I saw a GP in the sky. You know, I'm ready to go preach. And unfortunately, it was go pray. Need to make it your own first. Make it your own. Before you could ever give it out, by the grace of God, make it your own. I appreciate how Brother Hill had encouraged me in different ways and encouraged all of us about, you know, even when we were teaching or giving out lessons in the Word, you know, people would ask him, well, brother, oh, you're studying and studying. Well, sure, he was studying. But he said, oh, no, all that's done. I've been chewing on that cud for a long time. I'm just expecting the Holy Spirit to anoint to bring it out. Okay? It was made his own a long time back. What we're praying for when we bring forth the Word of God, I really do believe this, brothers and sisters, is we're praying for the anointing. I pray for the anointing. I pray for the anointing that God makes alive your heart and mine to receive the Word that He wants to bring forth. If I'll get myself out of the way, it's amazing what God can do. And I'm finding that out more and more. The power that He is ready to bestow upon us and the blessings that are already there, if we'll just by faith believe. So, he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. He didn't die for anything else. He died for your sins. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Praise God. It was that focused. It was that complete. It was that exact. He died for our sins. He died for the atonement to be made. Praise God. He died for me to be reconciled to God if I would believe. Praise the Lord. That's what He did. And He did it, notice this, according to the Scripture. It had to follow the Word of God exactly. I think about how I study these things. And again, how every single detail. He is a God of detail. It had to be on that donkey. He had to have his side pierced. He had to have that vinegar. It had to be that way. We may never understand that, and I'm sure that we won't in a sense. But it's the Word of God, and I do understand that, and I understand that it has to be that way. That's one thing that has to be that way. And there's not one thing that this Word has ever said that has not or will not come to pass. It must be. It's coming to pass. And praise God that we had a Savior that was willing to fulfill the Word. Now you think about, and He is the Word and was the Word, but yet the choice to submit. Praise God. See, this was a man. Yes, He was God-man. But I've been so thankful to know Jesus Christ became a man. Oh, that gives me hope. Because you know what? I'm just a man. I had a sweet sister encourage me this week. I'm just a man. And I know that. But I'm God's man. And oh, what He can do with God's man. Thank you, Jesus. according to the Scripture. See, this is salvation. This is the foundation. This is the very heart of the gospel. God's Word. This death. His ascension. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't have a thing. Because God's Word would not have been fulfilled. And this was the man that came and fulfilled the Word. And then going on in verse 4. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Again, according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Do you see, when we depart from the Scriptures, it's wrong. It's off. It will be lost. When we don't build in our life line upon line, precept upon precept, when we try to jump over here or to short circuit things, it's not going to work. The foundation must be laid. And once it's laid, go on. Go on. And then build upon what God has already given. And that's the grace of God. That's where life can begin. It's not clutched upon these things in the past. It's no, Lord, it is finished. It's completed for me. And I'm free. And I want to grow. And I want to grow in grace, in knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by His grace, He will. He'll bring that to pass. But again, I think about the third day. And that three, and how wonderful that is. And I think how, you know, again, we get so complacent. And sure, there's paramount truths. But I think if God has told us something, we need to believe it. And we need to understand these things. And when people tell me that Jesus Christ was crucified on a Friday, I have a problem with that. And say, well, brother, you should get over that. No, there's meaning in these things. Now, this isn't what this service is about. God willing, maybe we'll get to that someday. But I'll assure you that we can go into Scripture and you'll see that it should be good Thursday. But see, it's good Monday and good Tuesday and good Wednesday. It's good every day when you know Jesus. And I don't need to be an observer of days. And I don't need to abstain from any meats. And I don't need to observe any days. I observe Him. Amen. And that's all I need to observe. And that's it. And it's right. Because why? Because it's the Word of God. Go in and read about those Galatians and how they were trying to tie themselves up into all this self-righteousness. And all Paul could say is, who has bewitched you? I could almost hear that brother not be able to speak to him. If it wasn't for the love of God, it was so putrid to him. He almost couldn't do it. But the love of God got him through. Huh? Praise the Lord. See, that's your God that loves you. All right. So again, He paid it all. He finished the work. And it's finished. And now everything begins for us. So let's rest in that. All right, going on. Verse 5. And that He was seen. So when Christ arose, He was seen of Cephas. That's Brother Peter. Then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Now, I think that's precious, just even naturally speaking, that, you know, the Lord knows what we need. He knows how insecure we are and different things that we need to read about Him. And even in the natural, I thought about how many of these ones that had seen Him, that by the grace of God lived the testimony of what they saw. And if it was a lie, they went to their grave with that lie. And many of them were beheaded for that lie. And many of them were hung for that lie. And many of them were beaten for that lie. And many of them were jailed for that lie. And I'm going to tell you, if it was a lie, they would have said at the end, oh no, it was just a lie. Spare me from it. And Peter showed us that, didn't he? Isn't that wonderful about Peter? He knew it wasn't a lie. I get chills thinking about him today. But he knew it wasn't a lie. But yet he was going to deny him because God had to show him something about grace, didn't he? About how weak he was. But praise be to God, there was that brother that was killed. He faced death for the Lord at the time that the Lord appointed him to. After he saw the agape love, huh? Isn't that wonderful? After he was able to bring forth Peter 1 and Peter 2, some of the depths of the Scripture that I rejoice in. Now, we got to know where Peter and his place is by the grace of God. We know that he's of those 12 thrones that's going to rule over the 12 tribes. We know that that's the exact place. But I think what God showed that brother to bring forth in his word, in those Scriptures, that were the depth of the truth. I'm telling you, we'll get into that. I'll tell you, these Bible studies, I just get so full that wouldn't it be wonderful to be omniscient and omnipresent right now to just get all the, we get all the books of the Bible going at one time, huh? That's for another time, praise the Lord. But I'm glad He's tuning my heart that way. I get excited about Jesus. I'm thankful what He's doing here. All right. But start going back to that fifth verse. Again, this natural that there was these witnesses, precious thing. But, you know, God didn't have to do that. But He was doing something more here. This is such a great bridal type. This is a shadow of things to come. And what this is talking truly about are six of the appearances that we see in the book of Revelation. And when I say appearances, the appearances of these companies in heaven with the Lord. So let's go through here and analyze this. So it says first, he was seen of Cephas. This was Peter. Now, in this context, we're seeing Peter here as the very first or the front company, obviously the four living ones. Now, a lot of folks will say, well, now, wait a second. I thought Peter was part of the 12 that we just talked about. Well, sure he was. But God is using him as a type here. Now, it could be that we're seeing that Peter was the first to be called. And he said, I will go, in a sense, didn't he? He came out from that fisherman and he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men now. Let's go. So he was that first to go there. I think of it that, again, he ran to the sepulcher and he was the first one there that was able to see that Jesus wasn't in that tomb as he ran with his brother there to see the that the Lord had risen. But then I think the Lord really dealt with me even more so. Maybe, just maybe, it was because Peter had the greatest remorse. He needed to see the Lord. He had just denied Him. What do you think about that, huh? You know, I had a sweet sister tell me this week again, just to remind me, sometimes, son, it takes the greatest failures to bring about the greatest faith. The greatest grace. And Peter needed that. He did. He needed it for himself. He needed to know that he was nothing. That he was incapable. The only thing he was incapable of was failure. Unbelief. Right there. You went there. Peter, that's what you can do. You can forsake me. You can not believe. You can fail. You can sin. Now, do you understand that, son? Okay, now we're going to get on to what I can do in your life. And it's the opposite of all of that. And it's finished in me. And I believe that really, truly, as the Lord was speaking to me with Peter here, I think the bride of Christ sees this. I think the bride of Christ truly sees that without Him, we are absolutely nothing. That anything we ever hope to be, anything that we ever hope to achieve, it's all by the grace of God. We're going to have a brother tell us here in just a minute, I am what I am by the grace of God. It was Him. It was His work. And I think that's so magnificent. And I think to me that so thrills me about, yes, I can see Peter in this way as representing to me the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So here we have him listed first. And then it goes on to say, then of the 12. Well, look at there. Here we have the 12 disciples. And obviously those 12 disciples, as we just mentioned, will rule over the 12 nations. And there you got 12 and 12 and you got 24. It speaks of that divine rule. Again, bringing us back to the Old Testament overcomers. There's your 24 elders. So there's that group mentioned there. So again, the Lord is going to be seen first and foremost with the four living ones. Absolutely. That's the bridal company. But then also there's a wonderful thought that there's the full overcomers in the Old Testament. They're going to have a precious place. They're going to have a place that's very near the throne. They're going to be rejoicing. Praise God. for that bride as well too. Isn't that wonderful? I was speaking at dinner with a couple sisters and thinking how, yes, those Old Testament saints, again, thinking of that wedding that we had here the other day, now nobody was rejoicing like that bride and groom. But let me tell you something, there were some people that were awful close to Him that were partaking somewhat into that glory that was going on. And that, again, I think speaks so clearly to us of what this bridal scene will be all about. Now, verse 6, after that, He was seen of above 500. Well, if we go into Revelation 7, you'll see there the innumerable multitude. So they're there hanging out. So God sees them and precious, their brethren there. And there's a multitude of them, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. Now going on verse 7, after that, He was seen of James. Now James was the one that was sent to witness to Israel. Well, James witnessing to Israel brings about in Revelation 11 the correlation to the two witnesses there that will be about during the time of the tribulation. That, as you remember in our Revelation study, they go out and they witness to the Jew. And they're out there giving out the Word of God, witnessing to God's, again, earthly people. Giving them the Word, causing them to have peace during that time of great turmoil. And there's James seen as those two witnesses. And then of all the apostles. Now, these all apostles, I believe, are the 70 that you'll see there in Luke 10. But you'll see that also these 70 apostles, or these apostles here, they represent the 144,000 that we see in Revelation 7. And we see again in Revelation 14. So look at all these companies that are signs and types. Do you see how perfect the Word of God is? It's not accidental. It's a perfect pattern. There's a weaving going on here. And God, again, He's dealing with us in such depth. If we'll just pay attention in Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal these things, He's bringing this to us again and again. You know what, folks? This is real. Jesus Christ, we didn't have to pull something out of here or pull something out of here. It's all over the Word of God. It's all over the Word of God. He is witnessing of this time. He is witnessing of this place. And He wants us to take our place in it. We are being offered the very high calling at this moment. Now in verse 8 it goes on to say, and last of all, He was seen of me. This is Brother Paul. He says, look, I saw Him too. As one born out of due time. This means He was prematurely born. And what He's speaking of here is Paul was one of the Israelis, these Jews, as a nation that rejected Him. These Jews, even today, are still rejecting Him. Back then, they were rejecting Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And Paul was one of them when he was named Saul. And he was out there, not just one of them. He was a chief of the Pharisee. He was the one that was really magnified as their leader. And he would go out and he would try to find these people, these Christians, and he would drag them out of their homes. And we were thinking about this again today. He was dragging parents and children that were following after Christ to have them persecuted. And obviously with Brother Stephen, he stood there holding his clothes, watching and observing. And I wonder at this day too, was he one of those, in a sense, that was gnashing his teeth along with those others as they saw the glory of God in the face of that man? Oh my. Come on. Let's see what was going on here. So this saving of Paul and Paul's allowing to see Christ Jesus, this shows just the sovereign grace of God. This was just, people say beyond grace. No, this is just the grace of God. It's beyond anything I could think of. But this is just the grace of God. That He didn't destroy all of us. That He didn't see His Son there hanging on that cross. And it was your sin and mine that put Him there. And we were right there with Him, mocking Him and spitting on Him. And pulling that beard upon that face of the sweetest of sweet. That God didn't say, well, you know what, we're going to wrap this up. But He had a Son that said, oh Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I just can't imagine that He could love me so. I just can't imagine how He love me so. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you'll notice that these first five groups that we talked about here were the first five that were seen by John in heaven. And the first five groups that we talked about here as well too, these different ones, they were seeing Jesus prior to His ascension. But yet, Brother Paul was able to see Jesus after His ascension, wasn't he? Huh? Just as those Jews, they'll be the earth dwellers at that time, going into the millennium. And again, showing that perfect type that fits along there with Brother Paul. All right. Going on, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles. This is Brother Paul. I'm the worst. If there's anybody at the bottom of the totem pole, it was me. That am not meet. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. And here's why. So specifically, because I persecuted the church of God. He destroyed the very witnesses of God. Do you realize that? What we just spoke about. He destroyed the very witnesses of God. And yet we think we know people that are too wicked to come to a knowledge of the Savior. This was the wicked of the wicked. And you know why? Because he was the most self-righteous. He was. This is why he said he was the least. This is why he said he was the chief of sinners. But yes, this was the very reason that God, I really do believe, chose that vessel. To not only save that vessel, not only fill that vessel, but to bring in the dispensation, the epitome, the mystery, the whole high calling for this age, that Christ is looking for a bride. And He's going to have one. And she's about us today and getting ready. Isn't that wonderful? But that's who God chose to bring that through. Hmm? You think God might choose you too then? Did you do something too wicked? Hmm? I don't believe so. If He could do that for Paul, He can do that for anyone. Isn't that wonderful to know? Isn't that precious? I appreciate what He did with Peter there. As He showed Peter, Peter, you know, you've been around me. Yeah, you might have been first. And now you're getting to be the cock of the walk, as they say. And you're just going around here. And, oh Lord, all them might deny you, but not me. Not me. Peter, I'm going to let old Satan sift you now. That's the only way it's ever going to work for you, son. I'm going to have to just let you go. I'm going to let you show you how low you can really be. Huh? And then once you're down that low, son, just remember, I always abide faithful. Isn't that wonderful? And there was Brother Paul, the chief. And yet, he was the one that said, Lord, I'm ready to be offered. I finished. My, oh my. That's so sweet, isn't it? Oh, I appreciate God in my life. I appreciate His truth. The mercy that just calls at us. You know that, brothers and sisters? Isn't it just, it's phenomenal. It's magnificent. I don't even have words to describe it. But it's all been done. You know, it's just all been done. He's shown me that there's no excuse, son. Really, I've made the way. Not only is that veil rent in twain, I have told you to come boldly in it. It's for you. Not only do I want you to be saved and every man to be saved, I want you to have this fullness. I want you to have the exact knowledge of me. What an opportunity, brothers and sisters. I pray to God we don't let it escape us. So by the grace of God, he goes on to say, I am what I am. How wonderful. The great failure that brought the great grace and the great faith into this brother's life. And His grace, I think this is magnificent. If there's ever a time to underscore something in your Bibles, underscore this. I don't know what you think might be so important in your life at this time. And I'll tell you, I've had a problem this week with just praying for myself as well as others. God, let me get rid of that mirror and quit letting me look at myself. We are such a selfish generation. And you could say, well, the TV pumps it right into my head 24/7. Well, quit watching the TV. Quit reading the newspaper. Start reading the Word of God. It'll get you out of yourself. It really will. Well, I need this. I've got to have that. Oh, you need Jesus. You need Him. Let Him deal with you. Allow Thy will be done. Not my will, Thy will. We're talking about high calling, brothers and sisters. If we're going to vanilla this, well, we may as not meet. Don't want to do that. I want to be about the things of the Lord. I want to be about the things of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I do want to win Him. So by the grace of God, I am what I am. And here it is. And His grace. See, there's no other grace. You don't have any grace. It's His grace. Which was bestowed, and that word bestowed is free gift. It was absolutely free. Upon me was not in vain. Now again, as we said on Sunday, we have all been given that grace. Every person who's ever walked the face of this earth, if you think about it, He said, I will that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge, an exact knowledge, a complete knowledge of the truth. That grace has been resting there and given to every man that has ever walked the face of this earth. It's true. Now, our decision is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to make it of no effect in your life? It has to be in believing and receiving. And we grow in grace. There's no other way to grow. It's got to be the grace of God. And here it is for us, brothers and sisters. He's freely bestowing it. And here's what it did in Brother Paul's life. Because he said, you know what? I didn't make it in vain. I took every single bit that he offered. I soaked it all up. And again, that was by grace. But he says, at least I acknowledged and said, Lord, I'm so thankful for this free gift. And it's the greatest gift that's ever been given. And I took it all. I took it all and I ran with it. And here's what happened to this brother. But I labored. And that word labored means weary. He toiled. He suffered. He was able to suffer with Christ. He was able to enter into these joint sufferings. So now it really gets strange. Here He gave him the greatest gift. He gave him all the grace. And that grace was that he could go in and jointly suffer with Christ Jesus. Because he knew the power of Christ was resting upon him. He wasn't stupid. And he knew the Word of God enough. He said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. But it wasn't the reigning. It wasn't the jointly ruling with Christ Jesus that he was after. Oh no, he loved him. He just loved him. He just loved him. And I'm so thankful we just love Jesus. Now I read about all these things that He's going to bestow. I'm so thankful and I believe Him at His Word. But sometimes, you know, Lord, even if it was just a cabin in the sky and it was just You and me, I'd be so happy. I'd be so happy. I just want You. And that's what it's just becoming more and more. So because of this grace, he was able to surrender. And he didn't think about it anymore. He says, just living in me. Oh, praise God. I think it again, how people say, oh, I want to live for Christ. Well, that's a great thing. But how about Christ liveth in me? Huh? How about try that one on? That's the way you're going to live, in a sense, for Christ. You need to let Christ live in you. And see, that's the hope of glory. But yet we're still out about trying to be something. You already are. You already are. Just live what's in you and let it grow. Praise God. I know you're shaking your head. Oh, Lord, I know it is that simple. Why do I make it so hard? All right. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Isn't that wonderful? And it was the grace that did it. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You'll read about that in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. So you can go on and read that. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believed. So we're all in on this, he's basically saying. You know what? We all gave you this message. So now it's come to the point we're either going to be all right or we're all going to be wrong. Now let's go on, and I think we can get this through the 19th verse. And it's a sweet portion here. Now going on here, this is the importance of Christ's resurrection and our resurrection with Him. These are two resurrections here. And Christ's resurrection and our resurrection, they stand or they fall together. One cannot exist without the other. They have to be together. And without the resurrection, again, the gospel is meaningless. And you think about how Christ has said, He is the head and we're the body. You can't separate that. We're one in Him. Okay? Now a lot of people say, well, we're here. Well, no, we're not. You have to know the Word of God. Now we're the sons of God. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are seated with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. You got to step out of your finite, confined little mind and start believing the Word of God. Let Him expand you. Let Him expand that faith in your life. So we are already there with Him. We know that. So, in Acts 17:32, where this came from, and I would turn there, but we're kind of moving along here. These were the Athenian philosophers. And what they were doing was they were mocking the resurrection. And the enemy can do lots of different things. And, you know, just like those that saw and knew that Jesus Christ was, that He arose. And what did they do? They went and paid them soldiers. Don't say a word. Just all you can say is go tell them that those disciples went in there and took His body at night. They had eyes and they see not, and they have ears and they hear not. Okay? Some are just not going to believe. And some saw it right in front of them. And you know what? All saw it right in front of them. Because we have the Word of God, we're all without excuse. So, this is where it came from. So it goes into verse 12, it says, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And this is interesting because if, you know, here we have Christ, and some of these guys were believing, yes, Christ rose, but we're not going to rise from the dead. Well, if He rose from the dead, how hard would it be for Him to get me to rise from the dead? Think about it. Did you forget about Lazarus so soon? John 11:25. I am the resurrection. I'm the life. Praise God. So, you know, and those poor ones that were with Him, except for sweet Mary, she was back there. You know, Martha comes running and says, oh, if you were here, He wouldn't have died. And all of those different things. All the unbelief all over the place. Looking at her with this. Mary, she just went home, shut the door. I'm going to just have faith in the I am. Amen? Amen. And He said, Lazarus, come forth. And there He came. There's nothing hard for Him. There's nothing. Nothing. It's not hard at all. If they had better words to say, it would even be beyond that. But there's nothing hard for God. And a resurrection is nothing too hard or nothing hard at all for God. It's not. It's not hard. He can do that. And He did it with His Son. And obviously, by the grace of God, He has done that and will do that with us. We are raised with Him. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, as we go on through this, and we'll touch on these things briefly this evening, there's seven results if there is no resurrection. There are seven things that result from that. And I think that's, again, so precious. Seven is spiritual perfection. So we know that these things didn't happen. So we got the opposite of these results. So we did get spiritual perfection because He did rise. But if He did not rise, we're going to read about seven things that would happen. But if there be no resurrection, it says in the 13th verse, of the dead, here's the first one. Then is Christ not risen? Now again, we know by these witnesses, and that He was a man, not a spirit, that He rose. And see, He knew the unbelief, because see, what people were trying to say at that time too, was that, okay, He did rise, but He was different. Because He really wasn't a man. He was a spirit. I want you to go with me to Luke. This is so, again, this is our just omniscient God and what He knows, the stupidity and how low and how evil man can be. But go over to Luke chapter 24. This is exciting stuff. I pray that God allows you to bear with me on it. I think that we need to hit this and this will do us all good. But Luke 24, verse 39 through 43. Now here's Jesus as He's talking to them, as He's coming back and He is risen, and they're wondering, they're terrified about what they're seeing before Him. And He says, now settle down. Verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Isn't that wonderful? See, handle the Lord. Touch Him. He's real. Praise God. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. Isn't that wonderful? He showed them that, yes, man, this is, I'm going to do the same for you. And praise God, you're going to have a body likened to my own glorious body. Isn't that wonderful? I just am so thrilled what God is doing. And again, He knows the unbelief before it's going to hit. And He's already got the answer to squash that. And remember, man's wisdom is just foolishness to God. So you see there, He knew their unbelief and He brought that. Now verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, here's the next one. Then is our preaching in vain. It's empty. It's meaningless. It has no effect. Now praise God, we know that preaching does have wondrous effect. We know what the Word of God says about preaching. And God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. And praise the Lord, we had a message on that this past week. And then it goes on in the next one there at the end. It says, and your faith is also vain. Wouldn't that be awful that your faith was of no effect, that you were defeated? I can't even imagine that. See, I know people that live that. But that's not faith that they have. That's just lies that they believe. Mm-hmm. There's only but one faith. And I'm starting more and more to get that boldness in love to correct. There's one faith. And that's in Christ Jesus. All that other stuff is either religion, whatever it is, but it's just trash. That's all it is. People say, oh, well, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't mock things like that. No, I believe the Word of God. And you cannot compromise the Word of God when we're in love with His Word. It's in love. You have the freedom to go believe what you want. But you asked me. And you made a statement. And by the grace of God and inspired by the Holy Spirit, I'm here to stand for the Word of God. All right, 15. Yay. And we are found, here's the fourth one. And we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So isn't that wonderful? Again, it has to be together. If He does not raise the dead, then He didn't rise. So it's already done. See, that's again how beautiful it is. It's finished. One cannot happen without the other. It's already guaranteed. Praise God. The only thing that we're battling for right now in faith, and it's a great thing, is reward. It's not that I'm going to be seated with Him. I'm going to be seated with Him. But by the grace of God, specifically, what am I going to partake in that seating? Huh? That's exciting. That's freedom. Now I'm just free to grow in Him. All right. So again, and these they were false witnesses, and not necessarily just false witnesses. These guys were liars. They conspired to lie. And all these, again, as we said, yes, they conspired to lie, even unto death and whipping and beheading and all that. And I say, sure. That's right. Yeah, right. No, they didn't. They knew Him. And they were convinced and they were persuaded. And they saw Him. And not only saw Him with this, they saw Him with this. They had to see Him with the heart. There were people that saw it with the eyes. And yet they still paid to say, hey, look, let's go make a lie. Because we can't let this thing get out. And I always remember that Jewish man that I know that's a very dear friend of mine. He said, you know, when I went to Israel, and he's not a believer, but he said, I'll tell you something about that Jesus. It had to be something. for that to get out on the backside of nowhere. He said, that's still a nowhere. It's still nothing over there. But at that time, for that story to get out all over this world, there's got to be something to it. And that's the truth what he said. And he's right. I pray God he'd believe. All right, hurrying on now. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. So again, isn't that wonderful? Over and over and over, the Word is showing us that we are one with Him. We are one in Him. That He is the head and we're the body. And what God has joined, let no man put asunder. And that love, it can't be separated. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are His family. We're born of God. He can't deny Himself. That's exciting. So again, it is finished. Praise God, eternal security written all over this, huh? Who'd have thought? 17. And if Christ be raised, your faith is vain. Oh, I think that's the second time it said that. Because it's impossible to please God without faith. He's reminding us without that magnificent death and ascension, we wouldn't have faith. We'd have nothing. Absolutely nothing. So praise the Lord that we do know Him. The importance of faith. So here goes number 5. Ye are yet in your sins if He's not raised. So we're dead and damned. And see, we know Romans 5:10 by the grace of God. It says we are reconciled to God and we're saved by His death. Isn't that wonderful? All right, 6th one going on. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So there's no hope in seeing Christ. And yet I know by the Scriptures I'm seated with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. And then here's the last one. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Christians would be the most pitiful thing we'd ever know. Wouldn't they? We'd be the laughing stock, a big joke, you know? But now I just have to point you to verse 20. We'll stop there because enough of this nonsense. He is risen. Hallelujah. And going on, brothers and sisters, Lord willing, when we regroup, if He tarry, and He will us to, we're going to get into something really, really special going on here. We're going to see the order of the bride of Christ. We're going to rejoice in something that God is offering to you and to me. And I hope that this has just encouraged you tonight to see how little all this stuff you thought was so important this morning and this afternoon. Huh? It's nothing compared to what, not even worthy to be compared with what He's doing in us. Okay? So let's stand.